Be turning to Hebrews with me, Hebrews chapter number 12. Just be turning there. And I did want to mention we are in meetings, actually in service tomorrow night with Piney Grove at 7 p.m. If anybody would like to come, we did want to announce that tonight, let you know, looking forward to it. They've been having a very good meeting so far this week. I've been hearing a good report and listening to the messages online. Hadn't been able to actually be there yet, and so it's kind of interesting. We had the deacons meeting last night. I don't know. I guess you probably heard about that, and it was good. I was excited about it. I was nervous, you know. Kind of started out like I expected. You know, we kind of eased in, shaking hands and talking, and Brother Terry, he eased out a piece of paper and a pen, you know, to take notes, and I was like, that's fine. You know, everybody eased in. Brother Bill eased in. He had his tablet. I was like, I'm used to seeing that. That's normal. Brother James walks in, and he's got a stack of books in his hands. My heart skipped a beat. I'm not going to lie. I was like, what is this? I'm like, they're going to test me. There's going to be an exam. And then my mind went to, how am I going to tell Brandy we got there, and I was nervous and failed an exam, got this far, failed an exam or something like that happened. And that's where my mind went. And I looked down. I was kind of looking down to see what it was. And it was church doctrine and administration. And it had little sticky notes all in there. And Brother James, my heart skipped a beat. Brother Terry saw it too. He made mention of it after a while. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And I started thinking about where I would go in the Bible for grace, where I'd go in the Bible for the gospel, where I'd go, all these things. And Brother Terry made mention, actually, I think that's for you, Brother Tim. I think it's what he brought that. He's got it back there. Good one. I'm glad you got it. Good one. That reminded me of being in school. I remember that's one of the books we had in school. And, of course, you know what I did after that when I got in the car? I called Brandy. Now, Brandy's usually about a two or three ring person. So when you call, it's about one, two, and then maybe she'll answer on about the third ring or so. I called. She said, hello. I mean, it's pretty quick last night. I said, honey, you'll never guess what happened. I said, they tested me on the Bible, the Baptist distinctives, the doctrine of, I had to tell them all that. She said, are you kidding me? Did you do good? I said, honey, I'm just kidding. I had to. You know how that is. But I had to share that tonight. I thought that was pretty interesting. But it is so good to see you smile. It's so good to laugh in the Lord's house. You know, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Everything done decently in order and everything, and it's all right to smile and laugh a little bit, and I think that's good for us. You know, one of the things that I've heard a lot, and I've been studying different places this week in preparation for the service at Piney Grove, preparation for Sunday, and I was just really trying to focus on what the Lord would have for us here tonight. You know, I appreciate the text, the messages of being in prayer. I need that. We both need that. We're in this together. It truly is a partnership between you and I and the Lord, and that's just the way that it has to be and the way that it should be. And all week I was just thinking about this even before, but what people have been mentioning to me is just moving forward. Moving forward. I'm ready to move forward. I want to move forward. I think it's good that we just move forward. And that's not a callous thing to say. You know, the Lord doesn't intend for us to stay in one place. I was thinking about the children of Israel. When they got hemmed up, it's because of their sin. I mean, they were locked in a place. It took them so much longer to get where they were going because of their unbelief, because of their untrusting. The Lord, you'll see in the Bible, the Lord is all about movement. The book of Acts is all about movement. The book of Revelation, it's all about movement. It's all about moving forward or progression. And tonight, I definitely want to preach on that for just a few minutes about moving forward. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, this is pretty common scripture. These first three verses, I just want to focus on those. But we need to make sure that we got our eyes on the Lord and we're chasing after Him. That we don't get in front of Him, but we chase after Him. We can see that here in these verses tonight. I'll read these three verses. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get into it tonight. And we'll wait till the end, just like we have been, to have our time of prayer after the service. The Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember where he's at tonight. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Josh, I appreciate you being here tonight. Will you lead us to the Lord in prayer? Amen. I appreciate that tonight. I really like how this verse or chapter 12 begins here with verse 1. It's actually recalling back to chapter 11. When you see the wherefore, it's talking about all those that were mentioned in the book, The Heroes of Faith, is what we call Hebrews 11. It's mentioning all those. He's saying, remember these people, remembering this, remember. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He's saying, remember those folks that have gone on before us. Remember all the accounts in the Bible. Remember everything that they went through, the trust that they had to place in the Lord, the faith and the confidence that they had to place in Him. Remember that. Don't forget that. And I would challenge us here tonight not to forget those that that have gone on before us in our lifetimes. You think about this church, the establishment of the church and how important that is, the burden that people had for this church to be here in this community. It is to be carried on. It's not to be forgotten. It's not to be left by the wayside for any reason. It's to be carried on. And that's how this chapter starts out tonight. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside some of the weights that we're carrying. Boy, that's not really what it says, is it? Does anybody have any weights tonight? Do you? Church, I believe we all do. I believe there's some weights in our personal life. I believe there's weights in our Christian life, our church life. But what is it saying here? Lay aside every weight that you have tonight. You know, for us to really be as close to God as we should be or want to be tonight, we need to lay those things down. Lay those down at His feet. Lay those down before Him in trusting in Him. Lay aside every weight. We all have burdens. We have heavy burdens. I think sometimes what we'll do is we'll lay down the light ones. And we'll say, Lord, I believe you'll understand. This is a big one. I'm just going to hold on to it. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? If you're cumbered down with a load and you've got your hands full and you're carrying everything you can, which is the first one that you would want to get off your back? I'd want to get rid of that heaviest one, wouldn't you? You know, you don't bring that to the preacher. You don't bring that to family or friends. You bring it to the Lord. The one who can do something with it. I'm not giving you something superficial tonight. This is what the Word of God says. He said, for us to move forward is the way that we're supposed to move forward. You're supposed to lay aside every weight, everything. And you look around and you consider the strengths that we have in this church. You think about the weights that we do have. Those things that we need to lay down. You can look across the aisle to aisle and see somebody that's helping and willing to help you carry a burden. I have confidence in you, church. I really do. And how we need to stand together, stand for one another, be united and stand for one another. I see something pretty interesting here. You go from weights, you go from burdens. A lot of times that's an internal thing, something that a person would carry internally. There's things that are put on people. Sometimes people put things on themselves. But there's no distinction between the two here. It says, every burden. Lay down every burden. And it says here, and then also it includes this, it says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sin is very besetting. You know what that word means? Anybody know what that word means? I had to look it up just to make sure. It means to be hemmed in. It means to be surrounded or waylaid. It means to be seized. Well, I tell you, sin will seize you. It'll hold you down. It'll hold you back. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I was thinking about this. You know, when I was in class, one of my most favorite times is when we had a substitute. Because I knew we probably wouldn't be about business as much, maybe, if we had the teacher there. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Kirsch? You see a substitute come in. Sometimes it was like, well, you know, they're probably not going to test us. They're probably not going to push us too hard. They're probably not going to mess with us too much, probably just let us do what we want to. Because they're here just to be here for this little minute of time, this class time, and then they're going to turn us loose. And so it kind of lets the pressure off. You know, I was thinking about that along these lines when I was seeing this. You know, sometimes you think about the last year or so, it'd be easy to not be as committed as we could be. You say, preacher, you really saying that? I'm saying, hey, sin creeps in. We all have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. If we don't keep check of it, it will creep in on every single one of us. We're not any different. And I was thinking about it along those lines. You know, anything that would hold us back is something that we need to let go. Any weight, any sin, anything that's in our lives. If there was a time that something could creep in this church, it would have been this last year. Because who's consistently here? I know the deacons are doing the very best they can. I'm not saying anything about that. But who's consistently watching over week in, week out? It's different when you have a substitute versus when you have somebody that's watching over you constantly and knowing what's going on. Am I wrong? When would Satan want to creep in? When a substitute was around? Easing his way in any way he can. What does the Bible say here? He is saying, let us lay aside every weight, anything that could be holding us back. Get rid of that in the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, I don't like being seized. I don't like being hemmed in. Do you? No. I'm probably about as claustrophobic as they come. I used to work with Brother Aaron and Brother Daniel some in construction, and they put me in some of the craziest places, I'll tell you what. Scary places. I remember one time they were needing to have something done underneath the deck, and I got underneath there and I kind of had to go back, and the ground kept getting closer and closer to the bottom of the deck. And my nose was almost touching the boards below the deck, Brother Bill. As I was breathing, I could see the dust go up and through the sun. I could see it come. I couldn't hardly breathe. It's like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to tear these boards out. I got to get out of here. And finally got out. But you know, that is exactly what sin does. You can't move forward in a state like that. It'll hem you in. It'll hold you back. You imagine carrying all those weights, carrying sin, and that's all that it does. And what is Paul saying here? Lay it all down. Church, I couldn't tell you a better time, a better night than to do that than right now. If there is anything, and I don't know of anything, and I'm not forecasting anything, but if there is anything holding any member back, I tell you, tonight would be the night to do something about it. If we want to move forward, that's exactly how we do that. We lay aside these things, we get rid of these things, and we put them away. And I like what it says here. This is kind of contradicting if you think about it. How many of you ever run a race and you want to run it slow? Don't you want to beat the person? I know Brother Mike, he'd know about that and the biking and things that he does. But, you know, that trip across country, you had to pace yourself, didn't you? It wasn't, let's get on this thing and go as fast as we can. You know, there's nothing wrong with slowing down and doing something right. There's a saying, and I've been doing some DARE graduations. Brother Paul Scott, he's asked me to do some for his 5th and 6th graders. And there's a term that we used in law enforcement. I guess they still do a lot with the SWAT team. There's this term, it's called fast as smooth. So when you start doing search warrants and things kind of go sideways and hectic, it can go sideways very quickly. So you train and you train and you train. And so what they talk about is you can only go as fast as you can smoothly do what you're doing. Patience. Slow down. You know, when it counts like that, you can't move faster than you're supposed to. That's not wise. I know it would be easy to want to move forward too fast. But we don't need to outrun the Lord, do we? We'll see that here. It's talking about running this race with patience. Run it with patience that is set before us. And then what does it say right after that? Looking back at Jesus. Is that what it says? We're running this. If we're out running, we would have to be looking back at him, wouldn't we? That's not what it says. Run this race with patience. And it says, looking unto Jesus, looking forward unto him. When I see something here, thinking about being committed, thinking about trusting the Lord, seeing this all the way through, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Don't you want to hear the Lord say, well done, at the end of this race. The world wants everything to go faster than you can keep up with, to make you make bad decisions, bad choices. But I want to hear him say, "Well done, my faithful servant." I want to hear that. Our race is not over. We don't know when it's over. We don't get to choose that. That's not what we choose. You say, well, how do we stay on track? How do we stay on pace if we're not supposed to go too fast or too slow? How do we move forward with patience and forbearance with one another? I know people have. I do. I have my own preferences. I have my own choices. I have my own thoughts and my own quirks. I do. We all do. But do we love each other more than those quirks that we can oversee that? My best friends in life are my lifelong friends that I accepted their quirks years ago. I love him enough, Brother Dale, to say that's just how he is. And you know, he looks at me, my friends look back, you know, I love him enough because that's just how he is. Love him anyway. You know, that's kind of how the Lord is with us. Well, we have a lot of quirks when we're compared to the Lord, don't we? But he loved us anyway. He loved us anyway, and he wants to have a relationship with us. He helps us through those things. I was looking at it this way. This is all new to us. It's new to you, and it's new to me. It's a brand new thing, a brand new way of life that I never foresaw, and I know you didn't either. But the Lord wants us to move forward. He wants us to put him first and to move forward. And you say, well, how do you do that? I remembered when I started out preaching, I couldn't visualize what that looked like. When I started out, and I think many preachers will tell you, they go to different places. Is this the one? Is this the one, Brother Tim? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Is this the one? How is this going to look? And being that you've never been there, you can't forecast what it looks like, what it's going to be like. So what do you do? If you're a pre-planner, if you're a note taker, Brandy likes to take notes, have things pre-planned out. Let me tell you, you can't pre-plan your life out like you think you can. You can't. Now you look at Abraham, he was on the go all the time. That's why he lived in a tent. That's why a lot of those patriarchs lived in tents. They didn't get to stay in one place a long time. There's a lot of movement. So if you know that there's movement and things going on, what do you do? You can't. Sometimes your plans get all messed up. Well, I didn't see that. I didn't understand that. I didn't see that. So what do you do? I remember when I surrendered to preach, I was out in the yard mowing. I know I've told this here, but this verse sticks with me to this day. If I knew I couldn't trust in myself, I'd have to find somebody I could trust in. And consequently, the one doing the calling, the Lord, that's the one who I had to put my trust in. So, Lord, I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know what this is going to be like, but Lord, I'm willing. I want what you want. That has been a common phrase in my life for several months now. Lord, I want what you want. Sometimes you can't see past your nose. Sometimes it's like walking through a dark room, but the Lord wants us to move forward. Constantly, he tells us to trust him. Fret not, trust him. Trust him. 2 Timothy 1:12, it says here, Paul is talking about his call to preach, and he is saying here, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." He knew what his purpose and his call was about. Because he said here, and I want you to pay attention to this, church, really believe this and let this sink in. "For I know whom I have believed." That is the key. That's what it's all about. Now, how you respond and how you act is how much you trust him. Paul's saying, I know whom I believed. I love him and I've trusted him. You look at Paul's testimony. You look at how the Lord moved him around to get to where he was at and how that turned around. But he said, I know whom I believed and I am persuaded. I know he can do this. I've seen the Lord work enough. I've seen him lead people through so many different things that I'm persuaded that he can do the same for me. I'm persuaded he can do the same for Mount Lebanon. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now that's forward. That's looking forward. That's moving forward. That's showing faith. But I like what it says here. Slow down and read this. It says, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. What have you committed to him? That's what he's talking about. See, Jason's plans is not committing. That's like, this is what I want. I'm holding this back. I'm keeping this for me. This is what I want. Lord, I'm not committing this to you because you might not give it to me.
I want what I want. That's what the flesh does. That's the inner battle. That's how that happens so often. We see things, Lord, I'll give you all of this, but I really want this. And I can't let this go. Well, I can't give you any promise or any guarantee that that's going to work out in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Because you hadn't committed that to God. He is saying here, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. The day I surrendered to preach, I said, Lord, I can't. You will have to. Every second of this situation, that's exactly what I've said. Lord, I don't know, but I know You do. And I'm committing it to You. You think about that. Do you trust the Lord enough to give it to Him, trusting that He's going to give you what you need? I'll tell you, a lot of times, I can't think of another time, Brother Bill, that the Lord hasn't surpassed giving to me what I thought I wanted. It has always been better. It has always been more fulfilling. Always. I want to tell you this. I told a friend the other day at church, or at work. Several years ago, the biggest thing that I wanted to do is run for sheriff one day. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I thought about. I thought that was the end-all, be-all. You work through a career, finish out, retire maybe, or get to the end, run for sheriff, maybe win. You say, I can't guarantee you that. Can't promise you that. Just thinking in my mind, I thought, man, that wouldn't that be something? And I thought about Mark. I thought about him when he ran. I thought, man, he was 46 years old when he ran for sheriff. And that's young. And he won. I thought, man, you know, and this is years ago, and I was mapping this out. I was like, you know, by the time I'm 46, carry the 12, you're talking about retirement, 10 years, do this. I thought, man, this could be a plan. This could work. And you know, the Lord changed my heart. He changed my heart. He took all that away. Praise God. I appreciate Him. And I love our law enforcement. He took that away. But you know what He did? I turned 46. And He led me to this church. I tell you, church, I could not see that. I could not forecast that. I told my friends at work the other day, I said, this is just dawning on me. My plans has changed. By 46, I was supposed to run for sheriff. But praise God, He put me here with you. That's an answered prayer for me. I committed it unto Him. We have to learn that, church. Commit unto Him. These things, some things are hard to give away, but you got to commit unto Him. Say, Lord, I trust You enough to know that whatever happens, it's what You want. And I'm committing it unto You. I'm giving it to You. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I like those words there. I like seeing that author. That's what does the author do? The author writes the book. The author is the one who tells the story. Have you ever thought about it like that, what the story of your life is supposed to be? I've put a lot of thought into that, thinking about things I would like to do, but I've learned enough about the Lord to know that the things He would like me to do or take part in are way more fulfilling. See, in my little minds, growing up, little kid in Bethel, you know, a lot of times you don't have your sights on big things. All you know is small community and what have you. But I can tell you, when the Lord moves in, He does big things. If you commit it to Him. There's contingencies, but if you commit it to Him, the Lord can do big things and will do big things in our life. And I was thinking about this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm not the author of my life. Unless I choose to go on my own path, do my own thing. I would then be taking God's part out, Jesus' part out, and putting mine own in. And say, no, I want to change the script here. No, it's supposed to read like this. It's not supposed to read like that. Wouldn't you like to know what God's plan is for your life, our life, the church's life? What does it say? Abundantly, exceedingly, greater than what we could ever hope or ask for? See, that's the author I would like to read behind. That's the author I would like to write the book of my life. And that's what He's saying here. You say, well, how long? How's this going to work? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He's the one that's going to see us through. You're not going to draw your last breath until he says, I'm finished with what you have going on. You think about the life of a Christian who has committed themselves to God. They can't lose. Now, does that say life is going to be easy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We know life is hard. We face hard things and extremely hard things. But you know, the Lord knows that. I have seen people grow so much through the hardest things of their life. You read it in the Bible, we see the accounts, the different things that we see in the Bible. You see that it is so amazing to me a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times we see an account in the Bible and we look at it and we think, man, look what the Lord did for him. Look what the Lord did for her. And sometimes we neglect that the Lord is doing those same things today for you and me. People all around us. Bringing us through things, leading us through things. See, he is the prize. We hadn't got there yet. We're moving there, we're moving on, but he is the author, he is the finisher. If you're staying with him, he's the one that's going to see you all the way through until he says, my child, you're finished. Welcome home. Well done. Again, that's what I want to hear. Trusting him all the way through it. And he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Everything that we've committed to him. You think about the finished work on the cross. I keep thinking about that. It says here, again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. See, the beautiful thing about the Lord is his foresight is so much better than our hindsight. I talked to, again, a lot of friends. You try to talk about planning life, life planning, things like that. Planning for the bad circumstances of life. Joking around with a friend, we're talking about life insurance. He said, if I just knew when I was going to die, I would know what to do here. That's what he said. I said, yeah. I said, well, I don't want to know. He said, I don't either. I'm just saying, I don't know. You see, when you think about pre-planning things, you're trying to do the best you can with what you got. Now, wouldn't you rather do the best you can with what you've got in the Lord? Because he's already there. See, he's already in the future. That's what he's saying here. Who he's talking about this. The author and finisher of our faith, who before the joy was set before him. He knew what was on the other side of the cross. He could see that. He knew what it was for. He knew that that was to seal and to save the entire world if they would believe. There was enough for everybody. He knew what it was for, but he knew also I have to get through this part to have that part. For that part to be an option, I have to do this. Knew no sin, was not guilty of anything, but he endured the cross for you and I. Amen. So we would have a way. Well, I tell you, that's a person you can trust. You say, Jesus is a person? Yes, a physical person. That all God and all man, he's a person. That's the one person you can trust. That's the one person you can give everything to and know that it's going to be taken care of. Set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's right there watching over every single one of us. That's who you're committing to. When you talk about moving forward, that's who you're committing to. You're not committing to self. You're not committing to somebody else. You're committing to God. You're committing to Jesus, who is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, if you want to hear more about that, please come tomorrow night. I pray and trust, unless the Lord changes it, to kind of go more so along those lines tomorrow, seeing how that came together there. Despising the shame is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I'm closing with this. We're about done here tonight, church. Verse number 3, it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction. Consider him who put himself in a place. He was the exact opposite of you and I. But for us to have a remedy, he had to be put in that place. You see, the Lord doesn't just, he doesn't save us when we accept him. He doesn't just save us and say, I hope you have a good time. I hope you figure things out. See on the other side, you see, he walks with us the whole way through. He is just as much with us tonight as he was on the cross. And we were what was on his mind. Before even the foundation of the earth, we were what was on his mind. Consider Jesus. Consider him. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. He's saying here, just think about Jesus and what he went through. He suffered the worst death that anybody had ever known. For me, for you. I tell you, church, I look at it this way and I think about it. That makes me want to move forward for him. Keeping my eyes on him, us keeping our eyes on him, seeing where he wants us to go, seeing where he wants us to lead. And I'll say it like this. This is not a sprint. It's easy to get excited. I know I touched on this a little bit before, but this week me and Brandy were talking about it, moving through things. I even talked to the deacon and said it is 1 foot in front of the other. That's how it works. It's not going sideways. It's not trying to outrun the Lord. It's not trying to be faster than we should be. It is literally 1 step in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other as we move forward. If you will, stand with me tonight. I know it's Wednesday night, but I absolutely want to be able to have a time of prayer tonight.